We spent the first part of our year in this series called Pray First. Talking about praying first is becoming the mantra, the calling card, the first response that we have. Because prayer is supposed to be our first response and not our last resort. And so we even made Pray First bracelets. And I noticed some of you were wearing them today, and I noticed some of you have forgotten them already. And you say, well, Pastor, you challenged us to wear them every week, every day in January. You're right, and this is February. So I'm now challenging you to wear it every day for the rest of February. And in case you didn't catch on, I'm going to challenge you to wear it every day in March. And then in April. Okay? All right, if you've got a tuxedo on, you're excused from wearing it that day. But the idea is it's just a reminder so that we get to a place where we don't need a reminder. Where no matter what we face in the day, no matter what comes to us through the day, we will learn to pray first in every situation and in every circumstance. That we will pray first before we start our day. We pray first, even if you're at work and you're going into a meeting and you just for 15 seconds under your breath, you say, God, give me wisdom in this meeting. God, protect me as I drive home with these crazy Toronto drivers who get afraid of a little bit of snowflakes. And they shut down the city for 2 centimeters of snow. Let's be real, come on. The rest of Canada doesn't panic like Toronto does. They call it the army here, long time ago. But prayer is our first response and not our last resort. So far in this series, we've covered a number of things. In the very first week, we looked at the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. The model based on the Lord's Prayer wasn't so much that we would just recite the Lord's Prayer, but we would learn what Jesus was teaching us through the Lord's Prayer. And then we looked at the different personalities of prayer, and Jesus the Son and God the Father and the Holy Spirit, and how those personalities play into our prayer time. Then we looked at the prophetic in prayer, and Pastor Paul taught on that. And last week, I'm just curious, how many of you, I'm not judging you, how many of you were not here last week? A good number of you. I rarely do this, but you got to go back on our website and listen to last week's teaching. Not because I taught it, but because the teaching was very practical. We taught you on the topic of eat the book. Eat the book. Eat the Word of God. Eat the Bible, the Scriptures. Eat the book. And if you have struggles with reading the Word every day, if you're struggling with having a devotional life with God, last week's sermon was a very practical sermon in that. I'm not blowing my own horn. I taught you a method that's not original to me. I took it from another teaching. I don't lay claim to any brand new revelation of God. Okay, when it came to that, I did not write the SOAP method. And I want to continue what we did last week. And it's important because it's going to tie into what I want to do this week. And I'm going to refer to it towards the end of the morning. And if you were here last week, you're going to see how that tied in. If you weren't here, go back and listen to it. You're going to see it tie in. But I want to bring the end of our Pray First series with another very, what I believe, a very practical teaching. How can we pray in such a way that we can connect with God? And so I want to look at the example of what we call the tabernacle, or the tabernacle of Moses, or the tent of meeting. They're all the same thing. The Bible calls it the tent of meeting, and the Bible calls it the tabernacle. And it's described in great detail in a number of chapters in Exodus. And I'm not going to read all of them, but I want to draw your attention to Exodus chapter 40. So if you have your Bible, open it there. If you have a device, open it to there. If you follow us on YouVersion, all the notes are going to be there for this morning. And we do a fairly decent job of giving you fairly extensive notes in YouVersion, and you can save them. And so you'll be able to go back and look at them. So Exodus chapter 40, verse 1 starts with this. Then the Lord said to Moses, set up the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, on the first day of the first month. Place the ark of the covenant law in it and shield the ark with the curtain. Bring in the table and set out what belongs on it. Then bring in the lampstand and set up its lamps. Place the gold altar of incense in front of the ark of the covenant law and put the curtain at the entrance to the tabernacle. Place the altar of burnt offering in front of the entrance to the tabernacle, the tent of meeting. Place the basin between the tent of meeting and the altar and put water in it. Set up the courtyard around it and put the curtain at the entrance to the courtyard. I'll explain all that to you. If you've never read about the tabernacle, and if you've, like I said, the earlier chapters in Exodus detail very finely how each of these items, there's seven items listed there, and I have them in yellow for you. There's seven items listed there that are part of the tabernacle that made up this tabernacle model. Now, what you need to understand a little bit about the tabernacle is the tabernacle was the dwelling place of God for Israel when they had come out of Egypt and were walking in the wilderness for 40 years. It was a very, very, very easily to be torn down and set up again. It was mobile. It was largely curtains and rods and tents. So it would be very similar to a tent, so that when Israel would wander from place to place and they'd go to set up camp, they'd tear down the tabernacle, go to the new location, set it up. The tabernacle was also the center of life for the people of Israel. If you were to look at the way God said for Israel to set up camp, the tabernacle was in the middle of the camp, and then all the different tribes were on each of the four sides of the tabernacle. And God designed it that way. And so that's the tabernacle. The tabernacle is the place where God's presence would dwell. It was the only place for Israel where God's presence would dwell. It would not dwell in their homes. It would not dwell in their persons. The tabernacle was the only place where God's presence dwelt. And so it's important for us to realize that the tabernacle model that I'm going to share with you this morning is not just a model of steps, but it's a model of understanding and wanting to take hold of God's presence. See, the main importance of our prayer time is not our prayer list or our model. It's the presence of God. The whole reason that we desire to be the people of prayer is because we desire to have the presence of God in our lives. It's not about models. It's not about words. It's not about all those kind of things. It's about connecting our hearts to the heart of God. And when we break it down that simplistically, that's all you need. You need to come to a place where you say, God, I want your presence more than I want anything else. So in the tabernacle model, there are basically what I'm going to call seven stations. Each of those stations helped the people of Israel to find a connection with God. And when we take it and we look at it in our modern day, after the cross, after the resurrection of Christ, it takes on an even bigger and greater significance for us. And I want to show you what the tabernacle, what we think the tabernacle would have looked like. And so you've got this picture. It's an artist's rendering what we see described in Exodus. And so you see that's all a curtain. That wall is curtains. God designed exactly how they were to be. Everything was specifically designed by God in here. And so you've got in the dark blue on the far right, you've got, that's the entrance, and you come in, and the first thing you see is this altar, the brazen altar. It's the altar where the sacrifices were made. And just beyond that is where it looks like the picture has people standing around, would have been the basin, the cleansing basin. And I'll give you a little more detail in a little bit. It's a bronze basin. And then past that, we've got it cut out. They've cut it out so you could see it. Beyond that is another smaller tent that has actually two rooms in it. The first room is the holy place, and then the smaller room to the furthest back would be what we call the Holy of Holies. If you've read the Bible, you've come across that phrase, Holy of Holies. In fact, if you flip to the next diagram, you're going to see this is a diagram of what you just saw. And so you've got the outer gates, the altar, sacrifice, the bronze basin. Then you've got those two squares. One's golden in color, one's bluer in color. And so that's the holy place. And in the holy place is the lampstand or the candlestick, the candelabra. What's key in the lampstand isn't the golden lampstand. It's the flames in the lampstand that are key. And then you've got the table of showbread. And on that table of showbread would be loaves of bread and plates of gold and pitchers of gold that God designed. And then you've got the altar of incense. And God designed and said, here's how you build the incense. It's a sweet fragrance before God. And then there's a curtain between the holy place and the holy of holies. And behind there is the Ark of the Covenant, the coveted Ark of the Covenant, laid out in a gold cover with the cherubim over it. And it's on that Ark of the Covenant that the Old Testament says God's glory would come and dwell there. And here's the sad part from our look at it. The high priest is the only one who could go into the Holy of Holies, and he can only go in one day a year. Imagine you can only dwell in the presence of God one day a year. Now, take it as well, within that whole tabernacle model, you're aware that the presence of God is there. But the high priest goes in, the only person once a year who go into that Holy of Holies. And that's a whole other thing called the Day of Atonement, which happens about October of our calendar. That curtain that separates the holy place and the Holy of Holies, I want you to know that's the curtain that the New Testament says when Jesus died, the veil of the curtain was ripped from top to bottom, not from bottom to top, from top to bottom. And what God said is, my presence is now available to everyone. It's no longer hidden behind the veil. My presence is for everyone because Jesus died on the cross. The Holy of Holies, that's the curtain. And that's key when we understand that we now could come into God's presence on a daily basis. Aren't you glad you're not living in old time Israel? You don't need a high priest to go for you. That Jesus is your high priest. So I want to take you through these seven elements this morning. And I want to show you how these seven elements, moving from the outer gates to the Holy of Holies, to the Ark of the Covenant, are a way of us to come into the presence of God on a daily basis. And it's fairly simple. So the first thing we see is the outer gates. The outer gates is where people of Israel would gather, and they would come into the tabernacle through the outer gates. It makes sense. You come into this church building through the main doors. We have one set of main doors, and you come into them, same thing. But here's the thing, that God was instructing Israel that when you come into the tabernacle, when you come through those outer gates, you have to come with thanksgiving on your lips. You come with a heart of praise. Psalm 100 tells us, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. And the psalmist writes this, and I think he's thinking about the tabernacle. When I come into his gates, when I come into the courts of the tabernacle, I come with thanksgiving and praise. And so the outer gates represents thanksgiving and praise to us. So every day, as you are going to come into a time where you can come to the presence of the living God, you come first with thanksgiving and praise. You come and you say simple things like, Lord, I want to thank you that when I woke up today, I'm alive. Amen. There's a simple one. Lord, I want to thank you that you helped me through a hard time yesterday. Lord, I just come and I just want to thank you that you are who you are. And I want to thank you for being my God. You don't need to spend a half hour. So this model I'm showing you, I mean, yeah, you can do it briefly. And you can spend an hour on every element if you want to spend 7 hours in prayer. So the second element we come to is the brazen altar of sacrifice. In the Old Testament, the people who were coming to worship God, they came in the outer gates and they came with a sacrifice. They had to come usually with an animal sacrifice, and the animal had to be slain and the blood had to be spilt, and then with the priest's assistance, they would take it and they would burn that animal sacrifice on the altar, the brazen altar of sacrifice. And that's a picture, of course, for us. But Jesus was the final sacrifice. That's why you don't bring your lambs to church on Sunday morning. And that's why we don't burn them up here. Right? Because Jesus was the final sacrifice. That's why it's important when Jesus began his ministry. John the Baptist looked at him and looked at the crowds of people and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God. He is the final sacrifice." And so we don't have the brazen altar of sacrifice because Jesus was the last sacrifice. Jesus' blood, when he shed it, was good enough for all of mankind for all of eternity. But in old time Israel, every time you sinned, think about this, every time you sinned, you had to kill an animal and shed its blood and go to the priest and say, I sinned. Some of you might be making multiple trips to the tabernacle every day. I know I would. But Jesus is the final sacrifice. Hebrews 7:27. Unlike the other high priests, this is talking about Jesus. Remember, the high priest could only go into the Holy of Holies once a year? Unlike the other high priests, he, Jesus, does not need to offer sacrifices day after day. First for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once and for all when he offered himself. And I would add, not that I should, on the cross. See, the brazen altar sacrifice represents the cross of Jesus. And so as you come into your prayer time with God, you enter the outer courts and say, "Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for your help yesterday. Thank you with that meeting. Thank you that you met my needs. Thank you. And Lord, I just want to thank you, Jesus, for the cross. I want to thank you for dying for my sins." The idea is, as you come to this station of prayer, as you come to this point in prayer, we thank Jesus for his sacrifice. Put it this way, never forget. Never forget what Jesus did for you. Never forget the price that Jesus paid for you. Never forget that he shed his blood for you. Never forget that your sins are forgiven because Jesus died and shed his blood and rose again on the third day. Focus on the cross. Be thankful for the forgiveness you've received. And these are the things you've received because of Jesus' sacrifice. First and foremost, our salvation. If you are a follower of Christ, if you have asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins, you're a follower of Christ, you have salvation, you have eternal life. You have healing. By his stripes we are healed. By the beating that Jesus endured on the way to the cross, by his stripes you are healed. We prayed for healing. We believe for healing this morning. It's not in our name and in our power. It's not because of our prayers or because we're feeling good in the moment of worship. It's because Jesus paid the cost. There's redemption. We're redeemed from sin. We're redeemed from death. There's transformation. I hope you see it. I hope your life is being transformed. That as you walk with Jesus, as you live by God's word, your life is being transformed. That God is your provider. Moves us to the bronze basin. The bronze basin was between, as you saw in the diagram, between the altar and the holy place. And it's the place where the priests would go after they offered sacrifices, and they would literally clean up. Because you can't go into God's presence dirty. You can't go into God's presence dirty. Did you see that? You have to be clean. And it's the bronze basin. Exodus 38 verse 8. I don't have it for you, but if you want to jot that down. It describes the building of this basin. And that they were to take bronze and they were to press it and use it and make it. And they turned bronze into mirrors. They didn't have glass mirrors like we had today. It would be hard to travel with glass mirrors. So they would take bronze and they would probably press it and beat it and make it smooth so there'd be a reflection. That was the mirror. And the bronze basin was built with these bronze type mirror tiles. As the priests would come to wash, they would have these mirrors that they can check themselves in. They could see. And that reminds us of what we read in Psalm 139. Search me, O God. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. That's such a simple verse, but it's so profound. That reminds us of Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, he's speaking to you. Brothers and sisters in Christ, those of you who have given your life to Jesus, this verse is for you. I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Remember that verse again later this morning. So the bronze basin speaks to us. It represents cleansing to us. That as we come to God, so we come through the outer gates and we thank you, Jesus, for this day. And we thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice. And now, Father, I ask you to cleanse me. Wash me from sin. Wash me from harsh words I spoke to my children. Wash me for being so short with my spouse. Because we're human and we sin. And we need to be cleansed every day. We need to be clean. Cleansing. Here are some ways that we keep our hearts clean. I just said you repent from any known sin. Then we offer our bodies. We say, Lord, use my tongue to bless and not curse today. Don't let me speak evil, let me speak life. Our eyes, Lord, bless my eyes so I can see the people around me the way you see them. That when that person at work looks down and discouraged, that I would see that and speak life. With my tongue. Oh, Lord, use my hands to do good, not evil. Lord, my feet, prepare my feet to go where you send me. Take me this day, bring me someplace where you can use me. And Lord, I offer my mind to you because you gave me a mind that's supposed to be sharp. Because God didn't save you and make you stupid. God saved you and made you sharp. I offer my mind to you. Ask God to give you the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Lord, give me these things. So now you've approached your prayer time. And you come to the lampstand. The candlestick. It was a golden candlestick with seven lamps on it. Seven oil-burning lamps on it. It was placed in that holy place. It's the first thing in that holy place that we come to. Not the Holy of Holies, the place in front of the holy place. Isaiah 11:2 says this, the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The Spirit of wisdom and of understanding. The Spirit of counsel and of might. The Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord. The lampstand, specifically the fire in the lampstand, represents the Holy Spirit in our lives. The Holy Spirit throughout Scripture is often referred to as fire and flames. And so as you come into your prayer time, you're past the outer courts where you're praising God and you're thanking Jesus for a sacrifice and you're going for cleansing and then you're saying, Holy Spirit, I need you. Holy Spirit, every day you invite the presence of Holy Spirit into your life. And we read it in Isaiah. It's the Spirit of the Lord. It's the Spirit of wisdom. It's the Spirit of understanding. It's the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might, the Spirit of knowledge, the fear of the Lord. We can say, Lord, just use me. Holy Spirit, walk with me today. Holy Spirit, give me insight and wisdom. Holy Spirit, let me discern what you're doing in my world around me. Holy Spirit, release in me the spiritual gifts that the Lord promised me. Because if you're saved and if you're following Jesus, you have at least one spiritual gift. And so we pray into that. Lord, let me use my spiritual gift for you. Lord, develop your spiritual gifts in me. That takes us to the other item that's in the holy place. It's the table of showbread. It's a table that's set up like a table, like you would set up. Very similar to maybe how you would set a table in your house. plates and pitchers, all of that was made of gold. But I think that one of the key things is 12 loaves of bread. Of course, 12 loaves of bread representing the 12 tribes of Israel. But Joshua 1:8 says this, "Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful." And the table of showbread represents the word of God. And here's where I tie into last week. Here, as you come to your daily time of prayer, here's where you eat the bread. You eat the book. You devour the scripture, the word of God. You eat the book. And I gave you a method last week. If you weren't here, soap. Just remember soap. Every day you get up and you wash your face with soap in the morning. And every day you use soap in your spirit. S for scripture, O for observation, A for application, P for prayer. Soap. And you just take the word of God. And so here you're tying it all together. You're tying together your prayer time with your word of God time. You're combining it into one element of life. And you open the word. And if you look on the back here, I told you how you can get some reading plans. We told you last week, follow a reading plan. Just follow a reading plan. It doesn't have to be big. It could be small. It could be simple. It could be online. It could be in paper. But a reading plan will guide you through the word of God systematically. It will help you develop and grow. And as you go to the word, like I told you last week, we're now, Holy Spirit, be with me. Holy Spirit, speak to me. Give me a fresh revelation of your word. It doesn't have to be for anybody else. It just has to be for you. Let God speak to you. Let Holy Spirit guide you. Brings us to the altar of incense, a smaller altar than the brazen altar. It's a fire, an incense where fire would burn, and they would burn incense. And in the times of Israel, the priests had to go in morning and night to make sure that the incense was burning. And it's kind of really neat because the incense rises before God as a sweet fragrance. And in the Old Testament, often the idea is that as we make our proper offerings to God, it's like a sweet fragrance to him. And that's pictured in the altar of incense. Psalm 95 says, "Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care." So the altar of incense represents worship to us. And as you're coming into your time of being with God and praying to God and hearing from God and reading the word, we come to a time of worship. And here's where we often go off the rails. Because we become so attuned in our society that we think we need this. And this is great. But if you can find a way to take them home with you every day and have them play and lead for you, go for it. But I think they're a little bit busy. And it's great. When we come together corporately, yes, the worship team leads us into God's presence. See, we have to be careful here that we don't become the observers on Sunday morning who watch them worship. That we become the participants and they lead us into worship. But worship isn't only music. Yes, in the Bible, there's lots of worship with music. So I've got nothing against worship with music. But there's also a time where you can just worship by yourself. You can put on music. You can put on a favorite song. You can wake up with a song in your heart some mornings. Or go to bed with a song on your mind. But as you come into this time, so you've read the word, and the word naturally leads us into worship. And you're worshiping God for who he is. This is the difference between praise and worship. Praise thanks God for what he's done. Worship calls on God for who he is. And in the first week of this series, when we talked about Jesus' model, I spent time developing the names of God. But you can pull that back out again here. See how everything's tying together. So the names of God, and so, you know, one of the names of God is Jehovah Jireh. He is my provider. It seems to be one of the most famous ones, right? So God, I want to thank you. Lord, I thank you last week that you provided in my time of need. I didn't know how I was going to pay that bill, but Lord, you sent a check in the mail. Lord, I thank you for being my provider. One of my favorites is Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who was always there, the Lord who was always present. Lord, I'm thankful that I don't have to be like the high priest. I only get you one day a year, and only the high priest. But Lord, every day I can come and your presence is with me. And so you worship God for who he is. You can do it with a song. You don't need a song. You do it with your heart. Even when we sing, like we sang this morning, it wasn't just the instruments that made the key. It was the words on the screen that as we took those words and we put them in our heart and we sang those words with meaning and understanding. Let sickness be gone. Let every situation be turned around. Right? That's worship. And you don't need to spend 20 minutes on every element here. You just need to let your heart speak to that element, to that place of prayer. And you can worship. You can worship with the names of God. You can worship with one song on a CD or on your computer or whatever. But music is not worship. Worship is what comes from your heart to God, thanking him for who he is. It brings us to the last piece in the tabernacle, the Ark of the Covenant, the place where God's presence dwelt. It's the place, like I told you, that the high priest went once a year to make atonement for the nation of Israel. Here the priest interceded on behalf of all the people. And in the New Testament, I already showed you that verse, that Jesus is the final high priest. But we are also, as believers, called priests. Why? Because we can come before God and intercede for people every day. Any day, any time of day, because we have that freedom, because when Jesus died on the cross, the veil was torn. And when the veil was torn, God's presence was made available to everyone who called on his name. 1 Timothy says this, I urge you then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peacefully and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. The Ark of the Covenant represents intercession. So as you see in these last elements, we've gone from the Word of God to worship to intercession. We saw that in Jesus' model of prayer, he told us a little bit about this intercession. He says, pray the Father's will first. Pray God's agenda first. Then pray for other people. And the last thing we ever pray for is ourselves. Why? Because God is first, others is second, and we're last. Oh, pastor, I don't know, man. If you would know my needs, I think I'm first. And you're right, you probably feel that way. But you are called to a life of serving God, serving others, laying down your life. We are called to be servants of God. God is not our genie. And we have a hard time with this. Because, I mean, God, I followed you. God, I did everything you told me in the book. Why am I sick? Why has this happened to me? Why has that happened to me? Because God cares about your heart. God wants your heart. God wants your heart. Intercession. And so you say, well, pastor, I have so many needs. Even in that verse, there were so many areas of needs that were presented, even in Timothy there. You can pray for your family. Hopefully you pray for your church. You pray for your small group. If you're not in a small group, go to one so you can pray for it. Pray for your city. Pray for your nation. Pray for the world. Pray for our missionaries. Pastor, if I pray for those things every day, I'll never make it to work. You're right. So here's a little trick. Take your week and divide up every main area. And every day you can pray for a different main topic. God didn't say, give me all your prayers every day. He said, pray to me every day. And that's the mistake we've sometimes made. And then we get discouraged. Because I don't get past the fourth element on my list. Well, yeah, I mean, if you got a list that's got 75,000 items on it, you're never going to make it through. So break it up. That's what I do. I have different main topics each day, and then I have different topics, and I have one day I have no topic. God, whatever you lay on my heart today. Could be a mix of all the other things. It could be something that's not on the list. So that's your intercession. You're in the Ark of the Covenant. You're in the place of God's presence. Remember, prayer isn't about a model. Prayer isn't about following the rules and the seven steps and the seven stations. That's not what I want you to get. What I want you to catch this morning is that a model like this is designed to assist you to spend time in God's presence. It's just the way. It's a way in. It's a way of focusing on God. So, I mean, it's a simple model. This is a really a simple. So just think. You know, walk your way through it. Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for my life. I thank you for my wife. I thank you for my kids. Thank you that you kept us all safe yesterday. Lord, I just thank you. And Jesus, I thank you for the cross. I thank you for dying for my sins. Lord, never let me forget the price you paid for my freedom. Then God, search my heart. Oh yeah, God, I shouldn't have said that yesterday. Thank you. God, forgive me. God, I really shouldn't have thought that about my coworker. That's not giving my mind to you, Lord. Forgive me. Help me not to do that again. Cleanse me. Holy Spirit, I invite you into my life today. I don't want to go anywhere where you're not with me. I don't want to go anywhere where you'd be ashamed of me, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, walk with me today. Help me at work to be your light. Father, as I open the word, speak to me. Holy Spirit, guide me as I read your word. Show me something. Speak life to me. Then take time for your reading plan. You see what's happening? How long is this taking us? Now, yeah, you can develop each of those. I'm taking you through basic. But if you've never been anywhere, start here. Now that brings you into that devotional, eat the book that we talked about last week. Then you're going into worship. Oh, Lord, thank you. God, I thank you for who you are, and you call on him, and then you go to your prayer time. And as you finish that soap method too, you're ending with a prayer, and it's leading you right into worship. It's leading you right into intercession. What do you need? I'm going to suggest you need 15, 20 minutes minimum. I'm going to just be honest with you. Can't lie to you and say, well, you can all do this all in 5 minutes. No, you need a good 5 minutes just to read the word. So it all depends on the plan you take. But if you're starting, start simple. Start with YouVersion. Start with Our Daily Bread. They're simple. You'll grow. You'll develop. You're going to get to a point where I want more. And that's okay. That's kind of natural. It's okay. Okay, if 15 years from now, Daily Bread is still good for you, we'll have to have another chat. Okay, I want you to grow beyond that. It's a good starting point. YouVersion has many things. They're not very long. Just read and follow and eat the book. Enter his presence. You need to make it a priority. I said that last week. I can't say it again. You've got to schedule it. Some of you just need to schedule it. You got to put it in your schedule and say, at this time, every day, this is what I'm going to do. This is where I'm going to meet God. And then you just keep that appointment. Pastor, there's no time in my schedule. I'm too busy. Okay, good. Sleep less. I'm not joking. Get up a half hour earlier. But I'm too tired. Then go to bed a half hour earlier. Make an appointment with God and keep it. Stick to it. Put it in your calendar if you have to. I have appointments in my calendar. If I need to, I'll put another one in. Just stick to it. Make it a priority so that you'll do it. Just before I close, I just can't pass up this opportunity. You're here this morning and you've been listening to this tabernacle method or model of prayer. I didn't write this. I don't even know who did. It's been around since the tabernacle. It's been around since the time of Moses. But you're here this morning, and as we walk through the different stations of the tabernacle, you might have got hung up on that second item, the brazen altar of sacrifice. Maybe you're here today and you go, Pastor, I never thought of the sacrifice that Jesus made. I never thought that Jesus died for my sins. I know Jesus died because he loved the world, but Pastor, you're making it sound personal today, and it is personal today, that Jesus died for you. If you just close your eyes and bow your heads right across this room, just want to ask you, maybe you're here today and you've never thought about the fact that Jesus died for you, that you're a sinner. Well, that's a horrible thing to say to people, isn't it? You're a sinner. But Jesus died so your sins could be forgiven, wiped out, so you could be as if you've never sinned. Jesus loves you enough to die for you. You're here this morning and say, Pastor, I've never personally accepted Jesus. I've never personally thanked Jesus for dying for me. I've never asked Jesus to forgive me of my sin. You're here today and you say, Pastor, I need to do that today. 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 I can't wait another day. I understand now what Jesus did. If that's you, would you just lift your hand and look up at me so I could see you? Lord, we just thank you for today. We thank you for who you are. Jesus, we thank you for the cross. May we never forget. Father, I just ask for every person in this room, that as we come into a place where we want to get into your presence on a daily basis, that Lord, you would find our searching heart and you would meet us. Whatever method, whatever model, whatever way it takes for us to get there, Holy Spirit, that you would lead us and guide us. And we'll give you all the honor and all the glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.